Okay, so as Vicar Karen said earlier, the seven of us went on a mission trip down to the south side of Chicago over this summer. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that it was an eye-opening experience. Not only did we see the living conditions and hear the stories of all of the people who call the south side home, but we also got to listen to the wonderful youth work staff there who helped us learn how to see the brokenness that exists not only in impoverished areas, but here, in our community, in our loved ones, and in ourselves. Now, on the flip side, we also saw some beautiful sparks of hope there, like Miss Nikki, Ray, the other ministries there, and all of the little kids that we got to work with. It helped us appreciate the things closer to home, too, like SOS Food Pantry, the Cooperating Churches of Sussex, and all of the other mission work that happens in our community. While we were there, every morning we had a little devotional journal that we worked through in the mornings, and each day had a different theme. These themes were broken, pursued, restored, empowered, desirable, and undesirable.
My name is Ashlyn, and my theme was broken. The reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 through 14. Everyone's after the dishonest dollar, little people and big people alike. Prophets and priests and everyone in between twist words and doctor truth. We are broken, shattered. They put on band-aids saying, it's not so bad, he'll be just fine, but things are not just fine. We arrived at our first day of volunteering, and we were surrounded by broken windows, boarded up houses, and shattered bottles. Normally, these are the materialistic items that you think of when you think of broken. But people do not realize that people can have nice houses, nice cars, and nice neighborhoods, and still be broken. Rather than physical items, we suffer mentally with broken relationships, broken self-confidence, and broken faith. This leads me to the question, what are we doing? Why are we putting on an act, pretending that we have perfect stress-free lives, embarrassed of our fractured lives? We should be accepting of our brokenness and embracing it so we can start picking up the pieces. Some of the pieces may not fit just right, and some may even be lost. But with effort, time, and faith, anything can be found. And in due time, anything can be put back together again.
My name is Katie. My word is undesirable. That's just a person feeling unlikely to please, unwanted, not desirable. Mine is Isaiah chapter 53, lesson 3. He was hated and rejected. His life filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, he is a nobody. He suffered and endured great pain for us, but we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. In Chicago, I saw this. The feeling of being undesirable leads to people to make the bad choices that they did, which resulted in alcoholism and drugs, and many of the people had to be in a gang just to survive their life. There's a high pregnancy rate, and there's broken relationships, and there's a high dropout rate of education.
Hey guys, my name's Ben. My little word is pursued. The definition of pursued is to be sought after, accompanied, or followed closely. My Bible verse is Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Christ died for us at a time when we were helpless and sinful. No one is really willing to die for an honest person, though someone might be willing to die for a truly good person. But God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were sinful. But there is more. Now that God has accepted us because Christ sacrificed his life's blood, we will also be kept safe from God's anger, Even when we were God's enemies, he made peace with us because his son died for us. Yet something even greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, we will be saved by his son's life. So when I was in the south side of Chicago with everyone behind me, I'm going to be honest, there were not many adults pursuing children at all. There were really only three people that pursued children. The first one, her name was Shelley, and she ran Eden's Place, which is where me, Zach, Alex, and Ashlyn worked for the week. We did, in the morning, we would do, like, labor and work, and then in the afternoon, we would play with the children. And Shelley took in children 4 through 12, and she just basically kept them off the street, which is pursued enough in that area. She fed them breakfast and lunch every day, and she would keep them busy, teaching them, that kind of thing. The second guy that really pursued people, his name is Ray. He was the leader of the church, very old church. Ray's probably just about as old as the church was. His goal was to get teenagers off the street. Gangs are very, very, they're really common. You're in a gang if you're in the south side of Chicago. You have to be. Otherwise you're getting recruited, beaten up, that kind of thing. So Ray is anti-gangs. He does not like gangs. He said, you know, he would take people in and he would really shelter those teenagers. He used to have a youth group, but due to only 14 members being at the church now, he had to stop. He didn't have enough money to do it. So he can't take kids in anymore. The last person that's really pursuing people down there is Nikki. She was a high school teacher that decided to come back and live in the south side of Chicago. She helps people with their work. She helps them figure out problems in their life. And it was her choice. You know, she felt called by God to come and pursue those people. In Sussex, our hometown, it's our job to pursue people who need help. We are sent to serve, so that is our job in Sussex.
How's everyone doing today? No need to shout. My word today is restored, and that's to be built up again or renewed to a former condition or brought back to a state of health. And the verse that I will be reading is from Luke chapter 15, section 21 through 24. People will do to you exactly what they did to me. They will do it because you belong to me, and they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Everyone who hates me also hates my Father. I have done things that no one else has ever done. If they had not seen me do these things, they would not be guilty. But they did see me do these things, and they still hate me and my Father too. So, pretty much, if you can imagine these kids at Eden's Place where I worked at, they didn't have many materials, they didn't have much food, and they definitely didn't have much attention that they got. So what we did is every day we made lunches, and we pretty much made one lunch, but for the other kids we added total about 2 lunches per person just so we can give all these kids more food. And just to see these, we build some relationships with these kids because obviously they didn't really get much attention because of all the lack of materials and things like that. And you could just see, like, the kids' smile. It just lifted you to know how good we have it. And we were able to help the kids feel special and given little moments of God's grace, and we restored them with God's love.
Hi, my name is Alex. My theme is empowered, which means to be given or delegated ability or enabled. I'll be reading John chapter 13, 2 through 17. The evening meal was being served, and the devil already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had put all the things under his power, and that he had come to God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who needs a bath to only wash his feet, and his whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call for me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as what I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than the master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Now, the word empowered, I saw people being empowered when I was down in Chicago. There was a man named Troy. He owned the Eden's place that Ben was talking about earlier. He ran it, and we helped him out by cleaning up the area that he was making for a new garden. And I saw him helping out all of the kids down there, which was really great because you really don't see much of that down there, and it's just kind of different compared to everything else around him. Through our service for others, even the little details are empowered, and we should allow others to be empowered. This congregation is ready to serve. You are all empowered to pursue and restore the broken people of our Sussex community.
Hi, my name's Mickey, and I have the word desirable, which means worth having or wanting. And I'll be reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Christ encourages you, and his love comforts you. God's Spirit unites you, and you are concerned for others. Now make me completely happy. Live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think as if you were only one person. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Christ was truly God, but he did not remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave, and he became like one of us. Christ was humble, he obeyed God, and even died on the cross. Being in Chicago, like Emily said, really did open our eyes and kind of gave us a whole week to walk in these people's shoes who don't have as much as we do. My group personally, we went to a day camp, which was held by one of the local churches, and pretty much all the camp leaders were all volunteers, and they were just starting college, so fresh out of their teen years, and they didn't have to be there, but they did anyways because they knew that they wanted to help the other kids that were at the camp and lead them in the right direction and to have them feel like they have a worth and that they can succeed, you know, besides having to be in a gang or do other bad things. Another person that really did this was Ray, even though his youth program has died, but he continues now, like, taking us in and showing us what it is like to have worth and how God can really change people. And even us here, we can feel like we don't have any worth, but being there, we really saw what it's like to not really have any, in you, but we really helped the kids, and they helped us feel like we have a worth in life.
From the 19th chapter of Luke, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." As we worked through our devotional journal over the week, this was kind of just our overall Bible verse that everything came back to, everything about broken, pursued, restored, empowered, desirable, and undesirable. And it was a week of a lot of learning and a lot of growth, both spiritually and in our relationships. We want to thank you all very, very much for supporting us when we went down to Chicago. And it just gave us a whole new perspective on so many different things. And we got to have fun while doing it, so that was a great plus. And now as we move into our next hymn, if you look at the music, the song itself is a little complicated to get onto paper, so for the first page and then a little bit of the next page, it will be the men singing first and the women will respond with the same words, and then once, and then everyone sings the rest together, and then we'll repeat that.
They have put together a slideshow that we had intended to show, but the projector stopped working this morning. So after worship, it's set up in the over by the coats by the welcome desk. I invite you to take a look. Look through the pictures of the different things that they did throughout the course of the week. Catch them. Ask them questions about the personal experiences they had. Get more information. I think they've truly been a little bit transformed by their experiences down there. So thank you for sharing that today, guys.